the rest of the story. Farmer Joe had had enough. He had had enough. He looked around him at the tiny, unpainted farmhouse, the long, dusty trail leading away from it, the old hay wagon, the understocked barn, the underfed livestock, and the woman he'd married and promised the world and given a life of hard labor instead. And he looked, and he remembered, and he regretted. Joe thought to himself he'd worked his entire life for nothing. So Farmer Joe had had enough. You might have known if you'd seen him that day, that June 20 day, standing on the farmhouse porch, shoulders slumped, head down, his faded felt hat hiding his eyes. At least that's the way his son and daughter-in-law saw him as they drove away, and they would never see him again. But the next morning, Joe walked up behind his wife, Susie, in the farmyard and put a bullet in the back of her head. Then he went inside the farmhouse and put the pistol to his own temple. Shortly before noon, hired hands found them both dead. His sons were promptly notified and questioned by authorities. The coroner's main curiosity was why. Ernie told him how hard the Depression era had been on farmers, particularly raisin farmers, and how worried his dad had been about making ends meet recent months, recent years. His sons had tried to encourage him. His sons had said, "Look, Pop, one of these days liquor will be legal again, and we can make wine out of those grapes." Wine, the old man growled. What on earth did the family know about making wine? "Well, we'll go to the library and learn," his sons had said. But it was too late for hollow dreams, for by then Dad had become much wearied by many long, lean seasons, overwhelmed by the financial difficulties of the moment, too beaten down by yesterday and today to embrace tomorrow. And what a shame, because a little over 5 months, that's as long as short, as Dad had to hang on. For Joe, the dejected raisin farmer, took his own wife's life and then his own June 21 of 1933, and the Volstead Act, the law outlawing liquor, was repealed the following December 5. That was just 24 weeks later. Do you see what I'm saying? Once upon a tragic waste, there was a struggling raisin farmer on the outskirts of Fresno, California. His farm might have become the birthplace of a winery dynasty. But Joe's grieving sons sold that 200 acres that had driven their dad to irresistible depression. And then they went to the Modesto Public Library, and from a pamphlet on fermentation, they learned the business that their father might have learned. Today the whole world knows well the enterprise that began with a library booklet and two brothers' life savings of less than $1,000. But the next time you see printed or hear the spoken names Ernest and Julio Gallo, you will envision a despondent farmer standing on the porch of an unpainted farmhouse who, for an answer to his prayers, had only to wait another 167 days. Because now you know the rest of the story.